Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game looks like another overcast day. Although looking at the weekend, looks like low 80s and sunshine Saturday and Sunday. So we may be in store for a great weather weekend. So get out and enjoy that with tons of football that we're going to get into today. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is in East Nashville.
Hello.
Chase McCabe is somewhere, parts unknown.
I'm in Bellevue.
Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by Rumble On.
This is becoming like, where's Waldo? Where's Chase?
Yep.
He's here.
I guess today it's the West Side. So, anybody watch the ugly Thursday night game last night?
Some, a little bit. Yeah. I was watching the basketball and watching that, mixing in some baseball. I mean, it didn't really keep my attention after a while.
No, it didn't?
I just want to make a proclamation here, guys. If you've noticed the theme, if you've listened to our show a lot this week, I've asked every single expert.
Is Jacksonville better than we thought?
Exactly. So I'm just making a proclamation. My theory that Jacksonville will be better than expected is on hold right now.
Yeah, huh?
It's on hold.
It's been placed.
Basically.
It's been placed on hold.
Been placed on hold. Mm-hmm.
If you were at the Donick House last night, you heard him while sitting on his couch with Stanley go, "They are who we thought they were."
Well, maybe not. I thought they
we
were
let them off
better.
The hook. Yeah.
I think Fitzpatrick might have been heard saying that.
Well,
yeah.
Look, Ryan Fitzpatrick is what he is. We've seen it his whole career. You can tell. This is my telltale sign. This is just me observing last night's Ryan Fitzpatrick body language. Tua's about to take over here very soon, and he knows it. So he's doing what he has always done throughout his career. When there is nothing on the line for him, whenever he's basically, he feels like it's like game by game and then he's going to be out, he's as loosey-goosey and he just goes out there and slings it around and he's Fitz magic and he's running around smiling and doing all this. We've seen this before. Last night told me he knows Tua is about to take over here pretty soon. And he had nothing to lose. And that's when Ryan Fitzpatrick is at his best. Because when you see Pick Patrick, it's when there's real pressure on him. He's the guy. There's pressure to win games. When there's no pressure on Fitzmagic, that's what you get last night. And that's what I took from the game is Tua's not far from taking over this team here very soon. And Fitzmagic knows it because he was magic last night. And if that wasn't the case, if they already had declared Tua's not even going to play this year, he would be Pick Patrick this season, yeah, more times than not. But that loosey-goosey guy who we've seen so many times over the years is a guy that has nothing to lose and knows he's about to lose his job no matter what.
That's what I took theory. From him. But my theory also is that I just think his stuff works against average to below-average teams. Like, he's able to do that stuff against bad teams. He's just not able to get away with that loosey-goosey stuff that you're talking about against really good teams. And it's not his fault, right? He's always been exactly who he is,
yep,
right? We've known what his skill set is for 10 years.
Des Green would have read him like a book.
No question. It's just fun. But that's what makes him kind of fun to watch, is because you don't know exactly what you're getting each night, but you know that on a given night he's going to light it up. He's going to have fun, and he's going to make some big plays. And he's an interesting character.
But they are who we thought they were.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to have the pound of the podium.
Thank you, Denny. R.I.P.
We let him off the hook. Sorry, that was a little loud.
Well, you did overmodulate.
You overmodulated.
And we let him off the hook.
And then you got to have the guy at the end of the clip, the media relations guy, go, "Thank you, coach." No further questions.
So you have put the Jags back on hold. They got through to the operator.
We're
going to
revisit
them back on hold.
So Willie, what you're saying is you're the Big Ten. You're revisiting. You've made it. You made a decision.
He's the Big Ten. He's the Pac-12. He's the Mountain West.
You've made a decision, and now
all the other conferences that are revisiting.
Yeah, you're revisiting now.
As I said yesterday, all those conferences took off streaking through the quads to the gymnasium, and then when they got there, they turned around and realized nobody was following them. Now all of a sudden, they're heading back to the party, where Snoop is.
We're on hold.
Yeah,
we've got the pause button hit.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't ever saying they were going to win 8 or 9 games. I was just thinking, you know, the whole tank for Trevor, they might be a little bit better than that. And it's not like I didn't get any backup. Tim Hasselbeck agreed with me. Floyd agreed with me to a degree.
Well, I asked the question. I was like, are they better than...
Well, we've all been wondering. It's because they took the Titans right to the wire. But
sure.
And we know that there's going to be some fluctuation. A team can look really bad in this league for a week or two and then beat somebody good. And that's what is the beauty of the NFL each Sunday. That's where the phrase "any given Sunday" came in there. But
yeah,
that was a little alarming for the Jags to come back with so little against, you know, a very average Dolphins team.
I don't remember because when Ryan Fitzpatrick was with the Titans, I mean, I was an intern. Like I really don't remember having any, you know, dealings with him. Did he always have kind of that personality?
No, he had the personality of a wet blanket in Nashville. He had no personality whatsoever. Not in any of my dealings. Any of my time like, around him, no, wet blanket. Had
the
nothing
beard,
to say,
Hawaiian
no personality.
Shirt, you know, like,
quiet,
I remembered that.
Didn't say anything. Had nothing to say.
Yeah, he didn't say much back then. He was the backup, you know, and for a lot of the season, and then he ended the season starting probably the last, what, 6 or 8 games. I can't remember what game it was the locker went out for the season, but more of a low profile. Interesting, you know, he kind of had it in him. You could see it, but he has certainly let his guard down. In fact, the highlight of the broadcast last night was the back and forth mustache versus beard narrative between Minshew and Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
they both had some funny lines
to
that. Yeah. They had some good lines.
I'm kind of with you on that. It got old.
I was just like, whatever.
It's like, let's
Well, when
let's
the game's
on.
28-7,
no, I understand. They have to, but I was like, okay, well, we got it. Yeah.
We got beard. It. The guy has a mustache.
Yeah,
the guy's
got
okay.
a beard. Yeah.
So was he here under, was he Munchak's last year? Is that right?
Who, Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
By the way,
yes.
He was just, well, he was more Pickpatrick here. He really there
oh,
was
yeah.
no Fitz
I mean,
magic,
wasn't very good.
Really.
If you remember
yeah.
how it went down, they drafted Locker. They had Matt Hasselbeck was brought in to be the starter in 2011, and then they allowed Hasselbeck to walk to free agency,
and he went to
and
the
I think they wanted to clear the way for Locker. They didn't want to have the lingering. Yeah. Well, this guy was the starter last year. He did pretty well. Remember, they were 9-7. It's not like they were awful. Matt Hasselbeck had a good year, but then they kind of went lower on their budget. They let Hasselbeck walk to Indy. And they brought in Fitzpatrick to be sort of
That's
the clear
right.
backup for Locker, and it didn't work out very well. Because Locker wasn't ready for full-time starting duty, couldn't stay healthy. And Fitzpatrick, you know, he won a couple games, he had his moments, but, you know, that team wasn't that far from being good. They lost a lot of close games, and a lot of games that I think they should have won that year.
I don't know why we didn't see that here, Chase, to answer your question. He was... You know, he was starched underwear here. He was very stiff and boring, had nothing to say. I don't know why he was like that here. And I, like I said, I go back to what I said at the beginning. I just think people started writing him off like his career was over. And once, you know, people started writing him off, he feel like he's got nothing to lose. You know, he got that opportunity with Tampa. He lit up the score, and then he was like, I'm just a placeholder. Everybody's already written my career off. I need to retire. And that's when he gets really loosey-goosey. And all of a sudden, we got Fitzmagic.
Right.
But we didn't see any of that here. No.
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 That's why I don't remember much.
Yeah. No, I remember one show we did, Willie at training camp. He came over and did an interview. I mean, he's a nice guy. I mean, I didn't have anything against him. He was a super nice guy. Obviously, he's a smart guy. He's an Ivy League guy, so he's really smart. Sometimes not very football smart. He may be book smart. But, you know, sometimes coaches, players, you come over. Remember Willie, Matt LaFleur came over. It was like he talked our – during the break, talked our heads off. He was so personable.
Matt Hasselbeck was like that too.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes you get that. And with him, we tried during the break. I said, no, he just
not much
didn't.
To say.
Had no interest in talking whatsoever. I'm like, okay.
I do remember.
And I had a story to tell because he had bought somebody's house that we know, the three of us. He was living in Liz Allison's house. That's who he bought.
Really?
He bought it off Liz, yeah.
Huh, I didn't know that.
He had bought her house, and he was living in it. So that was kind of my door to, you know, start a conversation.
Yeah. A little icebreaker.
Yeah, no icebreaker. It was just ice. Just ice cold. Ice cold. All right, we'll come back. We will talk about this matchup on Sunday with John Glennon from Broadway Sports. Is this a trap game? Is Minnesota what we said all week? A really, really desperate team? You're going to get their best? Or is this a Minnesota team? You can say all that you can say that all you want. They've got tons of injuries. They're ravished with injuries on defense. Kirk Cousins isn't very good. And, you know, you should beat them. I don't know. We'll see what John thinks on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
This doesn't get you fired up for Friday's show. I don't know what does. Hey, Titans fans, don't forget, this Sunday, you need to go to Corner Pub in Bellevue. That'll be the location of our pregame show from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m. Getting ready for Titans and Vikings kickoff up in Minnesota. Corner Pub is the place to check out our game. The game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown. Our pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, the GM, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by Rumble On and Kubota Tractors. Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. John Glennon is on the line with us. He is from Broadway Sports. John, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Here's the question out of the gates. Is this a Minnesota team that is extremely desperate? Their backs are against the wall. They're 0-2. They know they can't come out 0-3. And you're going to get the Vikings best, the best they have to offer. Or is this a Minnesota team that's been ravished with injuries on defense? Kirk Cousins is just terrible, and they are what they are. Which one are you leaning towards?
I lean towards the first because of their track record here in recent years. You know, I think the Vikings for a number of years now have been one of the, I would say one of the NFL's better teams, not certainly in the elite group, but a team that usually contends for its division and a spot in the playoffs each year. So I think so far it's a little bit of an outlier. As you mentioned, Kirk Cousins has been terrible this year. When you have a quarterback rating in the last game of 15.9, I think it was, that there's an issue there. And certainly they do have, you know, three or four starters that have been knocked out defensively due to injury. But yeah, a team that's 0-2 isn't happy about the way it played, still has a shot, you know, to make in the playoffs, especially this year. We're talking about seven teams from each conference, not just six making the playoffs. So I tend to think this is kind of a desperate team, and you're going to see a much better Minnesota team this week than you have in the past.
Is this the week the Loch Ness Monster's head and long neck comes out of the water? By the way, that Loch Ness Monster's name is Vic Beasley, and we see the Loch Ness Monster for the first time?
I think there may be a sighting. That's just a guess at this part, but keep the binoculars handy.
See that Loch Ness Monster named Vic Beasley, will you take pictures and put it up on Broadway Sports?
I will. People are going to say it's a hoax. It's a fake. It was doctored. But,
a silhouette.
You know,
silhouette. It's a shadow.
Exactly.
It's a ripple.
Waves. I think he'll be there. He's practiced this week again. And, you know, certainly the Titans are in need of some assistance at that edge position. You know, we've seen the number of snaps for Clowney and for Landry. Just way too high right now. And, I think Vic Beasley can certainly take away, you know, maybe 5-10 snaps for each of those guys if he goes in there. And, you know, it's a guy that has some real skills, and I think the Titans' hope when they got him was that, you know, Mike Vrabel being a guy who played that same position and played it very well can kind of make Vic Beasley more consistent about showing those skills than maybe he has been in the past. So maybe we will see the elusive Vic Beasley on Sunday.
Do you believe privately they're excited or they're still a little butthurt over what he's done to them? What do you think privately?
Just between you and I?
Yeah, just between us. What do you think?
I think they still have to be, you know, they certainly aren't going to say it, but I still think they have to be, you know, very disgruntled, I guess would be the word that comes to mind. You know, the guy shows up 10 days late for camp, shows up with a non-football injury, you know, basically misses all of training camp on the field for the most part. After they get, you know, after they put down $9.5 million for him, I still think there certainly has to be some frustration there. But you know, I think they have to turn it and focus it now. Like I said, there, you know, this guy certainly has loads of skill and potential. If Mike Vrabel is the guy that can turn it around, you know, we've seen what he did with Clowney. Clowney had his best numbers under Mike Vrabel. You know, I think there's still potential for them to get something out of Beasley for sure.
Obviously, this is not the start to a professional career that Darrington Evans was hoping for. What is the latest on him? They certainly, there's another guy they could certainly use. Derrick Henry could use somebody to give him a little relief. Where is he in all this?
Well, you never know. We may see two sighting. We might get a Loch Ness Sasquatch.
Maybe what? Sasquatch too?
Wow.
That's the daily double.
Yes. He has practiced full both days this week. And if I had to guess, I'd say he's going to be active. We don't know. You know, maybe they give it another week. But I think he's in there. And as you say, you know, Derrick Henry's a guy that certainly is used to a lot of carries. But, you know, after two games, he's on pace for about 450 carries this year, which is probably a little bit
too much.
It's a tad
too much. Yeah, it's a tad too much.
And you know, certainly Darrington Evans offers an element in the passing game on third downs and so forth that Derrick Henry, you know, that's not his forte. So, you know, and I think eventually Darrington Evans may be a guy that factors into kick return too. He had great success in college. I want to say he ran back, you know, three or four kicks for touchdowns in college. So, you know, eventually, but I think he'll play a role in that area as well. But yeah, certainly a lot of interest in him. I do think he'll bring a nice added element when he does return.
The money shot would be to have Bigfoot leaning down the water with cup in his hands to get a drink, and Loch Ness Monster's head comes out of the water right there at the bank.
Oh my God!
That would be the money shot. You want Broadway Sports to go viral? There's your money shot right there. If Evans and Beasley are in the game at the same time and you can get a snap a picture of that, there's your money shot.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, think of the clicks, the ratings, out of control. We'll see about that. And then if we got Derek Roberson.
Oh, my gosh. You're not going to be able to sleep
tonight. You're asking for
too much now. You're not going to be able to sleep tonight. You're going to be up all night thinking about this.
That's crazy talk. I know.
Well, in all seriousness, where are they on the rest of these guys that we have questions about whether they'll be on the field or not?
Yeah, you know, A.J. Brown, I still have my doubts, certainly. He hasn't practiced this week, so I would not expect him out there. Derek Roberson, the same for him. Jonathan Joseph is kind of a question mark. You know, he started out the week practicing, and yesterday did not. You know, it was part injury, I think part illness. I still think there's a shot for him to get out there. And it's kind of a mess at corner because, you know, Butler and Chris Jackson are both battling injuries as well. I still think we'll probably see Butler, Chris Jackson, you know, maybe, but hamstrings tend to take a little bit longer to fully heal. So I'm not sure. So it's a thin position at DB, especially right now. That's going to be the concern area, I think, for the Titans going into Sunday.
John Glennon is with us. And, John, with that in mind, I look at Kirk Cousins, who has got to be frothing to get back out there and redeem himself after two very poor games, especially the second game. But you just kind of hit the formula. You know, you got Dalvin Cook that, you know, very capable to start with in any offense, still getting used to the new offense under Gary Kubiak. But you've got that weapon, and you've got a very thin group of DBs, especially at corner. And so I see a formula where the Vikings are going to bring a lot to the table offensively. That seems like a concern. Let's look at the Titans with the defensive backfield that they're likely to throw out there. Where do they go here? Are we digging deep on the practice squad here to bring out the Ty Smiths and guys like that to try to fill the gap?
Yeah, you know, we saw Ty Smith in there last week, certainly for I think about 8 snaps or so, and that was because Chris Jackson and Jonathan Joseph were both hurting. You know, Christian Fulton, we saw his snaps jump the first week. I think he had about 20, 25 snaps. Second week went up to about 40 or 45 because of that. So, I think they're digging deep. We saw the Titans pick up 2 defensive backs for the practice squad this week. Unfortunately, one of them was put on COVID list yesterday, just days after signing. I certainly don't think it's out of the question that they bring another guy up. And then you start looking at, you know, some guys who could chip in and play a little bit there in addition to the regular spots. A guy like a Josh Kalu, you know, maybe we're more used to seeing him in a safety role. Same with Amani Hooker, guys like that. But maybe they can help out in a slot role, something to that effect from time to time. But it's a challenge, you know. I mean, Dory Jackson obviously out, and Malcolm Butler's a question mark. So, you know, what was going to be maybe a question mark going into the season certainly is right now with the injuries.
John Glennon is with Broadway Sports. John, you mentioned the COVID list. The question was asked about Isaiah Wilson earlier this week, what his status is. I'm curious what the rule is. How long can a player stay on the COVID list? Do they have to continue to retest a person? How does that work? I know it's all new.
Yeah, it's as far as I know, Willie, I'll have to double check. You know, a player can stay on that indefinitely. Has to obviously go through a series of tests regularly, and it's not until multiple tests have been passed that he is brought off the COVID list. You know, aside from that, I'm sure you probably heard Mike Vrabel's response yesterday.
I called it very curt. Not like Kurt Abbott or Kurt Cousins or fill in your Kurt, but or Kurt Warner, but it was a very short answer.
Right. Yes, less than expansive, I think. You know, he was asked to kind of sort of provide an update on where Isaiah was, and I think that the phrase was still on the COVID list. So, you know, I'd say obviously that has to be a frustrating situation for the Titans because it's the second time. You know, he when he first reported, certainly he was put on the COVID list almost right away, got off it, and then returned to it. So, you know, a guy who missed, along with his rookie class, the entire offseason of OTAs and so forth, you know, now is also missing valuable time. And you just wonder at this point, you know, how much he'll be able to chip in at any point. We saw Nate Davis, offensive lineman last year, you know, miss a great deal of camp and still, you know, ended up starting by around the fourth or fifth week of the season. But I think Isaiah Wilson is behind that. Frankly, you know, I think the conditioning was a little shaky as well. So, you know, unfortunately, the first-round draft pick right now looks a bit like a bit of a project. You know, I still think the potential is there, but my sense is that you know, we're not going to see a ton of contribution anytime in the near future.
Talking to John Glennon of Broadway Sports, and you mentioned earlier about A.J. Brown and looking like he's probably not going to be in the lineup for them once again this week. Cam Batson was called up from the practice squad and I thought made some nice plays. He made his presence known. I mean, they clearly need some help at the receiver position right now outside of Corey Davis and Adam Humphries. First part of this, what did you make of Cameron Batson, and do you think we'll see him again being a big part of this offense this week?
I do think so. Yeah, I thought he did. You know, not a ton of plays, but when he did get the ball, he made a difference. You know, he's got I guess what people like to say is a little wiggle to him. You know, he can make moves in the open field. You know, when they give him that the end around or the jet sweep, or if he catches a short pass and has some space, he's very good about getting yards after the catch. And you know, you look also at a guy like Khalif Raymond, who had a great training camp in terms of not only being a deep threat but being a shorter pass option as well. But we haven't seen him, you know, the production or the success from Khalif that we have from Cam Batson in just a short amount of time. So I think we will see a little bit more of Cam Batson. Let's not forget, you know, the Titans have quite a bit of experience with Cam Batson, not from last year, but in 2018, you know, he played in I think 8 or 9 games for this team. So Mike Vrabel and the staff are very familiar with him, and I think like him, and he'll get a little chance to shine. And who knows, you know, maybe at some point, you know, he's a guy that could be looked at as a punt return guy too. He's done that before, and he's got that explosive ability to his game as well.
With all that said, they also signed the practice squad Chester Rogers, who does have some experience with the Colts. Has played in a handful of games. With the way the practice squad has worked, you can put veteran guys on there. It allows them time to get used to, you know, the system in which this team has. So, when do you think we might see him? Do you think we might see him on the active roster?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on the injury situation, and I think they would also, you know, as I said, I thought Khalif Raymond, you know, he was a valuable player last year. I thought he had a great training camp, but I'm sure they would like to see, a little bit more production. Like, you know, for instance, last week, I think he was in the game for 28 snaps and no targets in there. And you know, that doesn't mean you're necessarily not effective, but, you know, in a perfect world, you'd like to see more production on the catching front for sure. So maybe if Khalif Raymond, you know, struggles a little bit, maybe that is the opening for a guy like Chester, a guy who the Titans have certainly seen in divisional play the last couple of years, and a guy who has proven track record in the NFL as well. Maybe that becomes the door for Chester to work back in there if it's a couple of weeks down the line or so.
What have you made about another free agent signing that this team made, Jack Crawford, on the defensive line? Clearly they had to find somebody to attempt to fill the shoes of Jarrell Casey, and I've noticed him a couple times in 2 games. I know he's gotten the sack, but what have you made of his performance so far?
And I think that kind of the upside has been his his versatility. He's the guy who can kind of play all the spots on the line, and you know, is even lined up as almost like an edge guy at times when needed because of the manpower situation there. I think certainly it would be tough to put the responsibility of filling Jarrell Casey's shoes on him. There, you know, he's just not the same level player as Jarrell Casey, but I think he's been good, for the most part. I do think, you know, whether it's Jack Crawford or anybody else, really, that one of the keys Sunday is going to be getting more pressure on the passer, more sacks. That's something that was a priority for the Titans going into the offseason, and, you know, we still haven't seen it change too much. And again, part of that is probably the manpower. Probably part of that, too, is they've been forced to kind of help out a secondary a little bit more than they figured they would, and that means not quite as much blitzing as they might have had in the past. But it's got to improve one way or another.
John Glenn in Broadway Sports. Hey, we appreciate it as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Follow his work on Broadway Sports, a new platform covering all things Nashville sports. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Titans and Vikings matchup here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You mentioned the issues in the run game. How much of that is the not having preseason games? And when you look at the issues, how close do you think your team is to cleaning up some of those details?
Derek didn't take a snap in the preseason last year, and I don't know how many plays our starters played in preseason, but that's certainly not the issue. You know, we just have to do things better, continue to work on our techniques, continue to work on our understanding and the details, and try to get things going.
Mike Vrabel yesterday talking with the media, getting ready for the game against the Vikings. I can't make up my mind. I can't make up my mind if this is, forget all the storyline of the Vikings are desperate and they've got to have this and you're going to see their best. Like, I think that is definitely in play, but I also keep going to the other side going, well, that's great. They can think that all they want, and that's good for about the first 5 to 10 minutes of the game. But then once they start hitting and the game starts evolving, all that goes away. And is just flat out, is Minnesota that good? With all their injuries and just are they that good? I mean, I think everybody thought they were going to be really good in this spot. But every time I start thinking like that, I also realize that Mike Zimmer's done a pretty good job as their head coach. Like, his track record is he does get them to the finish line every year.
And they
are
had
a
some
competitive
slow starts.
Team. And they've had slow mm-hmm. starts. And they end up being, they end up, you know, riding the ship and they end up getting into the playoffs. So he has a track record of turning things around. So I don't know what to think. The line is, what, 2.5?
I've seen 2.5 and I've seen 3. And it opened as a pick'em. So,
well, there's been a couple of injuries that have
sure.
that have definitely put the Vikings behind the eight ball. But I look at the Titans situation injury wise, especially on defense, and of course they're still missing AJ Brown. I see a defense that can be exploited right now. I think Mike Vrabel is concerned. You don't have a pass rush, and you have, I mean, the kitchen sink at corner right now. Luckily, you have your two safeties, and you have, you know, your real versatile guys back there, like a Hooker. But, you know, and Ty Smith has been, I think, a good depth addition that's played enough for them.
Solid depth guy.
To know,
sure.
yeah, that you can put him in there and it's not a disaster. But, you know, no Joseph, Butler, no Jackson. Butler not 100%. Chris Jackson already a rookie, not 100%. Christian Fulton, a rookie, still learning. This could be the best thing for Christian Fulton long term, but he might have some rough Sundays, kind of like Adoree Jackson did his rookie year. They're going to go after him. You know, who covers Adam Thielen, for example? I guess it would be Butler as much as you could if he's healthy enough to do it. But I think this is going to be an offensive game. I think this is going to be a pretty high scoring game. I think this is where we just had the clip about the running game. This would be a great game to have the running game kick in and control the game a little bit and give the defense a little breathing room.
49.5 is the over-under for this one.
It's 2.5. I see it at 2.5.
Yeah,
half. Yeah, 2.5. I got
you guys
50.
Think high scoring?
I see 50.
I mean, 50 is fairly high scoring, right? That's 27-23, something like that. Do you think?
Well, remember what I brought up to Floyd yesterday. It's the most points. I mean, scoring is way up through 2 weeks in the NFL, way up. So people tend
that
to think
– That doesn't really surprise me, though.
Everything is going to be high scoring. Why doesn't it surprise you?
Just because of the – even though coaches want to dismiss it, the lack of preseason.
Yeah, tackling and preseason.
Live tackle, yeah.
But so. That, you could but make why the argument that,
affect, that
that would
right,
help the defense.
Right.
Right.
Why doesn't that help the – why doesn't that hurt the offense then? They should. Why have they been able to succeed under those conditions, but the defense has had troubles?
Is it easier to catch and harder to tackle? I don't know.
Trent Dilfer.
It's a fair question.
I think Trent Dilfer tackled that. He said when he watches the game, he sees right now it's a little more basic. Right, offenses are dictating by saying, okay, we haven't practiced that much, so let's just do what we do well and see if they can stop it. And the defenses are probably in the same boat, right? They can't have maybe as elaborate of schemes as they want to right now. And maybe that helps the offense. When the game is a little simpler, the offense maybe has the edge. Plus, I think we can all say that they continue to really not call a lot of holding. And maybe that helps the offense have a little more time to do what they want to do. That's a theory. None of this can be proved, right? These are just things I'm throwing out there.
I threw that out there a couple of times on the show, and they're not calling holding penalties in the league. They're like way, way, way down. Taylor Lewan doesn't have a penalty, which proves they're not calling holding penalties. And I'm not trying to bag on him, but, I mean, he's a guy that traditionally is good for at least a penalty a game, and he hasn't got any.
Well,
not calling
that's
penalties.
An exaggeration. But what he's avoided so far, too, what gets him in trouble is the, you know, getting a little too excited after the play.
Right.
Jumping on the pile, you know, or, you know. I think he had like 10 in the first 10 games or something last year. Then he started to get it.
Well, after he called himself out.
He called himself out at the Chiefs
game,
right?
Because he was
getting
called out. I mean, yeah, okay.
But to his credit, he did improve it.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, he
but I don't know if he's notorious for getting holdings specifically. Is that fair to say? It's a lot of he gets a wide potpourri of
yeah, but he I know
some you can live with, some you can't.
He's been called for them, but I mean, look, how many coaches have told you over the years there's a hold on every play? It's just whether they see it or not. I mean, that's
well, I mean, but that's just but that's part of it. I mean,
but I think you can get away with
some reason they're single and you if they're singling you out, then you need to figure out why they're singling you out. If they can call it on every play, then why do they keep calling it on you? You know, that's up to the player because I know there's probably players that feel that way. Right, right. There's a reason that happens.
Now, what can happen, too, is defensive coaches can wear out the officials during the week and say, you know, my guys are getting held all over the place. You got to start calling it. And that can happen, right? It can be a point of emphasis, and suddenly you start seeing the yellow come out, and they start calling it. That could happen at any time.
So let me ask this question because you started this off, Darren, with the Vikings, and you know you referenced their injuries and all of that. But then are they better? Are they good? Are they actually good? And their record's just not showing it. I'll flip it around the other way. How good do we think the Titans really are through two games, injuries aside, but just overall from what you've seen, how good do we really think they are? Or can you even answer
I think
that right
they're
now?
Better than what they've shown, and they're 2-0. That's the amazing thing. But they could also be 0-2. I mean, I think they're better than what they've shown, and they're undefeated. So I think they got obviously lucky in week one. I think they were lucky to escape with a victory. The kicking game should have cost them the ball game. There's just no way around that. It should have cost them the game. It didn't. So credit to them. So I think they're better than what we've seen. This is so. With that being said, they should take care. They should be better than Minnesota. But, you know, I'll tell you another factor that I think would be hurting them if we were having this conversation. If there were a crowd in Minnesota, this is a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. I think that also would factor into this game. But no crowd. That can only be an advantage to the Titans. There's no other way to slice it. I don't care if it's Minnesota's home field or not. They should be familiar with it and blah, blah, blah. They don't have to travel. It's got to be an advantage for the Titans because that's a difficult place to play. And with no fans in the stands, to get an 0-2 team pumped up and jacked up, that's got to be advantage Titans. At least that's the way I see it.
No, I agree with that.
Chase, I think I've been pretty clear. I think the Titans, and this is what I've tried to ask all of the great football experts we bring on the show every week to see how they feel about it. But I still think the Titans are one notch below the top standard in the league, and that's the Ravens and the Chiefs and the AFC. I don't think they're there. But I think they're just one notch below, and we know that they are capable – when things fall right, of beating the Ravens in Baltimore in a playoff game. I think they have the makings of being better than that, but just like every team, nothing goes 100% smoothly, right, especially this year. So they have to continue to get better as the season goes along. That's what encourages me, though, because this team has improved over the course of the season in Mike Vrabel's first 2 years. The only thing you really worry about is if the wheels fall off with injuries, which could happen to any team, then it's a whole different conversation. But right now, they're trying to battle through, you know, A.J. Brown being hurt offensively, but by and large, other than that, offensively, they look pretty good, and that's what I think is going to have to carry them in this game. But defensively, they're still piecing together what they want to be, right? They've got to figure out the defensive line and the pass rush for sure, and they got issues in the secondary.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. Like, I see a team that I think is pretty good, and once they clean up a few things and get their numbers up, get some guys back, I think they can go from pretty good to very good.
You can't depend on that, though. This setup and this – first of all, you can never depend on that in the NFL, and especially under these circumstances. Like, nobody's going to be fully healthy, Chase. No one is going to have a full roster every week. Like, you're always going to be battling adversity. Every team is going to have to deal with that. I'm sitting here looking at the Jets. They're already a sucky team. And this week they've just announced Jamison Crowder is out. Rashard Perryman is out. That's their first two receivers. They're out.
Whoops.
Their right tackle.
That's a problem.
George Fant, out. Their right tackle and their two top receivers are out, and they're already a crappy team.
Yep.
I mean, that's already life in it. But you can't go on the, hey, once they get everybody back and they're a full roster. Like, you're never going to have a full roster. Once somebody comes back, somebody else is going to go away. I mean, it's just
that's
life in the NFL, especially now.
But that is – so that's a known weakness of the Jets year in and year out, right? Roster building. They've not been known for that for the most part for the last 20 years or however long they've had a salary cap.
By the way, Josh Malone is starting for one of those injured receivers. Is that the Josh Malone from UT?
I'd have to look. I have no idea.
I think it is, right?
Good chance.
Yeah,
but I think the Titans – but the point is that the Titans are good at – being able to find the depth players, right? They can plug holes. Their depth is good. They know the role players. So that has helped them get by when they get a reasonable amount of injuries. Now, there becomes a level of injuries that no team can overcome, like the Steelers last year. When you lose Roethlisberger, they did everything they could. They were patching it together, and they stayed alive until the last week. Ironically, it was a loss to the Jets that kind of broke them, right? They couldn't beat the Jets at the end of the year. That's how banged up they were, especially at quarterback. But I think barring that, and that's what happened to the Titans 2 years ago, right? Vrabel, they had them going at the end of the year, and then the last game of the year, you're missing Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan and Marcus Mariota, and the list goes on. They just didn't have enough. They had not enough to really field a winning team by that time of the season. They were all on IR. But if you can avoid that, I like this team's ability to find ways to win, plug holes for a short period of time, and get better as the season goes along.
How would you like to be the 49ers, who stayed behind? They didn't go back to Northern California. They played the Jets last week, lost half their roster to injuries, still beat the Jets easily, didn't go back to Northern California. They've been working out in West Virginia, and they're going back to East Rutherford to play the Giants. They lose Bosa, Thomas, they're two top guys on defense. Richard Sherman's out. Dee Ford is out. Oh, by the way, they just now announced Jimmy Garoppolo is out. They're
Mullins
going with Mullins as the starter. You've got your two running backs, top running backs, out.
Yeah, now that
looks like McKinnon. I mean, how would you like to be them right now? This is the team that represented the NFC last year in the Super Bowl, and right now going into week three, like, basically anybody who's anything on that team is out injured.
Now, that is alarming. That is five-alarm fire right there.
And, oh, by the way, they complained about the turf in East Rutherford. And, oh, by the way, they're playing on that same turf again this week.
Yeah. But they are playing the Giants.
Well, so
they have a chance.
I agree. Well, there's no doubt. Well, I think they're the favorite.
So you're telling me they have a chance.
They have a chance.
I think it's like... Hang on. I got it right here. It's
3.5.
3.5.
The Giants are getting 3.5. Yes, that's how bad the Giants are. Now, I get it. They've lost Saquon Barkley. But the Giants are an underdog at home by 3.5, and the 49ers have practice squad guys starting this week.
Good grief.
Because half their roster is hurt.
I might lean the Giants.
if I'm a Giants fan, though, I'm going, man, that's we must
like
be
how,
really
like
bad.
How embarrassing is that, right?
Yeah. Do the Giants play the Jets at some point this year? Does that happen? Did we get
they
to see that game?
Somebody will need to get a win.
Now, here's the question. This pops into my head, right? You've talked a lot. You've been talking for years about Trevor Lawrence. if the Giants or the Jets end up with a first round pick or the first pick in the draft, which could happen, right? Mm-hmm. They've each recently drafted a quarterback in the first round in the last 2-3 years. What do they do? Do they take Lawrence, or do they wheel and deal that pick for
that
embarrassment?
You want to know what I think? I think the Giants trade it because the jury's still out. This is just my opinion. I'm not sold on Sam Darnold. I never have been. I never have been. I've always thought.
And it's his third year, right?
And I've heard a lot of people
seen
just
a little more
gush
him.
Over him. And it just, I don't see it. So I think if the Jets end up with the first overall pick, they're taking Trevor Lawrence.
But Darnold has also shined and looked really good. He's looked really good in certain patches. How do you hold Darnold at fault when he's got Adam Gase as his head coach? I mean, I just.
And no receivers to speak of.
Adam Gase belongs in the Ken Whisenhunt category. Like, just blame everything on Gase. Like,
but
everything
how much,
is
how much
don't
damage,
worry, the Jets fans are doing that.
How much damage has been done? And I'll give you, I mean, obviously, the quarterback here, Ryan Tannehill, is a perfect example of once he gets in the right system, you see what he can do. So maybe that happens. Maybe they make a coaching change, get rid of Adam Gase, they bring in somebody that knows how to use Darnold, and then those flashes that you talked about become a consistent thing. But again, if you find yourself after, no matter what the circumstances, it's still been 3 years, and you find yourself with the number one overall pick, and you're the New York Jets, that, you know, who knows what you're going to do. But just for the sake of this conversation, you have a chance to take Lawrence. If I'm a GM, I do it. I take Trevor Lawrence.
The example I'm going to use is not a good one because I think it's pretty clear now. Everybody's identified Josh Rosen is just a huge bust.
Sucks.
I don't care what Jones and Darnold end up being. They may end up being really productive. They're not going to be Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence is franchise changer.
So says Scout McFarland.
Yes. I've been saying it for 2 years.
Yes, you have, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily
Andrew
right.
He is Andrew Luck. He is the no-brainer. He's franchise changer, period.
We think.
Yes, that's what I think.
We can't know that.
And I don't believe you ever would hang on to Jones or Darnold are never going to be as good as him in my mind. But remember, Arizona went back-to-back years. They went Josh Rosen first round and said, you know what, we're punting, we're going Kyler Murray. And that's worked out pretty darn good. But Josh Rosen also may be way worse than these other two quarterbacks that we're talking about, so it may not be a very good comparison.
He's in the Akili Smith category right now,
he
Josh Rosen.
Certainly
that was
feels
pretty
that way.
Easy to see. I don't know that Darnold or Daniel Jones have been that bad. They've shown you something.
Like Rosen.
We said with Marcus Mariota for years, it's easy when a guy is Akili Smith to say, okay, this guy doesn't have it.
Yeah.
And it's easy when you have Andrew Luck. But when you're in between and you're not sure, that's what makes the decision really difficult.
Yeah. Let's go to Blake, who's in Jackson, Tennessee. He's calling in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Blake, what's up?
Hey, guys. Listen, while the Titans are struggling with bodies, I don't understand why they don't get Juwan Jennings off the practice squad out west and put him in for A.J. Brown. I mean, the guy, if you throw him the ball, he gets it. Doesn't matter who's on him. And once he gets it, he's really hard to tackle. I mean, one guy usually can't do it.
Well, why do you think he's on the 49ers practice squad?
Because he got there late.
Okay, but
he would be way late to the Titans.
Right, and so he should be inserted into the number one receiver spot?
You know, all he needs is tell him the route to run and throw him the damn ball. That's the guy he is. He gets it.
He has great get-it-done-tivity in your mind.
Blake, I have a question that may or may not be related to this call. Who is your favorite college football team?
I like two. I like Vanderbilt, though I suffer, and I like Tennessee.
Okay. I'm with you on that, bud. I'm with you on that.
Look,
okay.
Juwan Jennings, look, I'm not disputing, Blake. Juwan Jennings was fantastic in college. We need to see it, though, at the professional level, don't we? I mean, I'm not prepared just to say everything is going to translate at the pro level.
You got bodies all over the ground.
I know. So why aren't the 49ers using him? I mean, they should know.
There are not many people that are the ones who come down with the ball.
Would you say John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are pretty good at evaluating talent?
You know, it's a roll of the dice.
Is that a yes or a no on Shanahan and Lynch?
You know, they can be right and they can be wrong.
Okay.
Blake, so let's use a different example. You said you like Vanderbilt and Tennessee.
Yep.
I thought that Jordan Matthews would be a year-in, year-out success, and I kept saying to myself, they drafted this guy way too low. He's going to shine. I watched him every week. He's a stud. I think you feel the same way about Jennings. You probably feel that way about Jordan Matthews, right? It's just a different game. It's a different league.
I'm not saying that Juwan Jennings won't
get in there eventually, but it's hard to change teams, learn the system, and just have him thrown in there and do well. I just think that they like the Batsons, the guys that have been there, the Hollisters, who know the system. They know what they can do just to plug the gap until Brown gets back, hopefully next week. I don't think Brown's out for too long. And so it's just once they get him back, they should be all right.
Maybe.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Blake. Appreciate it.
All right.
We will come back. Richard Deitch from The Athletic to start the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.